بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on عمدة الأحكام, Book of Fasting, Hadith number 200. عن محمد بن عباد بن جعفر قال: سألت جابر بن عبد الله: أنهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صوم يوم الجمعة؟ قال: نعم، وزاد مسلم: ورب الكعبة. محمد بن عباس بن جعفر رضي الله عنهم reported that I asked Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله عنهما, as he was circumambulating the house, whether the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had forbidden fasting on Friday, whereupon he said yes by the Lord of the house. And in Sahih Bukhari, this is in Sahih Muslim, I asked Jabir, did the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام forbid fasting on Fridays? He replied yes. So this question, did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is for exclamation, it is not for denunciation. Why did he make an oath by the Lord of the house? As we learn, the objective is to affirm the ruling, because it could be taken as something strange. How? Since the day of Jumu'ah is the best day of the days of the week, so how it is forbidden to fast? So this assertion came in order to ward off any kind of strange feeling regarding this. So that's why he said yes by the Lord of the house, that he did, meaning did forbid that. This forbiddance, is it for tahrim? Some of them said yes, this is a forbiddance of tahrim, that it is unlawful. Some of them, meaning of the scholars rahimahumullah, consider this to be disliked, and they reasoned that had it been something unlawful, then this would not be removed by fasting a day before or after, as we will come to know the next hadith, that it is permissible to fast Friday as long as one fasts a day before or day after. So are good if this was for being forbidden, then the forbiddance would not have been removed by fasting a day before and day after. Now, what is the wisdom behind forbidding the fasting on Friday? It is said because the Jumu'ah, the Friday, is the Eid, the festival of the week. So it took some of the rulings of the Eid. But since it is a kind of, quote, a special Eid, it did not take the entire rulings of the regular days of Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. This hadith also tells us that it is permissible to make an oath without being asked to make it, because here in the statement he said yes by the Lord of the house. The oath was made, as we mentioned earlier, for attestation, for affirmation rather, in order to ward off any kind of strange feeling regarding this. Since the day of Jumu'ah is the best day of the days of the week, so how then it is prevented to fast? So therefore this kind of making an oath is permissible if it is intended for tawkid, for affirmation. And from this also we know that it is permissible to make an oath regarding a fatwa, even if the person was not asked, if there is a benefit behind this. And making an oath may cover three situations. If the one being addressed denies, or if he is wavering or hesitant, or if the matter is of importance. So therefore the person affirms the matter by the oath or by something else. And the oath came in the Quran with respect to denial in affirming three matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed His Prophet to make an oath in three places in the Quran to affirm certain matters. Can anyone of you remember these three? We discussed them in Hadith 184 in three places in the Quran. Allah commanded His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make an oath in three places. Can anyone remember that? Surah 64, yes. Which verse? Surah At-Taghabun. Which verse? قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي. That's right. لَتُبْعَثُنْ. When they denied the resurrection. This is verse 7. Verse 7. In response to their denial of the resurrection. In Surah At-Taghabun. زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن. The disbelievers pretend that they will never be resurrected for the account. Say, yes, by my Lord, you will certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed or and recompensed for what you did, and that is easy for Allah. The other two places in Surah Yunus, Chapter 10, verse 53. And in 34, verse 3. That's right. In Surah Yunus, وَيَسْتَنْبِئُونَكَ أَحَقٌهُ قُلْ إِي وَرَبِّي إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ. This is affirmation. And they ask you to inform them, saying, is it true, meaning the torment and the establishment of the hour, the day of resurrection? Say, yes, by my Lord, it is the very truth, and you cannot escape from it. And in Surah 34, verse 3, وقال الذين كفروا لا تأتين الساعة قل بلى وربي لتأتينكم. Those who disbelieve say, the hour will not come to us. Say, yes, by my Lord, it will come to you. Now, remember these places, 64, 7, 34:3, and 10:53. Make a note of them. This concludes the Hadith 200. We need to move to Hadith 201. عن أبي هريرة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو بعده. In this hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, none of you should fast on Friday unless he fasts a day before or after it. Meaning, the person must not single Friday out as a day to fast, except if he fasts a day before or a day after. The benefits of this hadith. First, the forbiddance to fast the day of Jumu'ah except for the one who fasts a day before or a day after. And the evidence for this is in the hadith of Juwayriya bint al-Harith. The succession is in the hadith of Juwayriya bint al-Harith. When the Prophet ﷺ came to her on the day of Jumu'ah while she was fasting. And so he told her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asumti amsi? Did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ala turidina an tasumi ghada? Don't you intend to fast tomorrow? She said, no. Qala, he said, affa aftari, so break your fast. So this indicates that the fasting of the day before and the day after, so there is succession here. It to be preceded by a day and followed by the next one. So for example, if someone fasts on Friday and fasts on Sunday, is there succession in this? Is there succession in this? No. طيب. Someone fasts on Wednesday and then Friday. Is there succession in this? No. طيب. What is the wisdom? The Sharia makes distinction between certain things. Look for example, certain acts of worship. Look for example, concerning the fasting of the Eids, the two Eids. In the two Eid situation, the fasting is forbidden, whether there is succession or no succession. Even, in fact, fasting the day of Eid al-Fitr, the day of Ramadan, the Eid of Ramadan, in fact is preceded by a fasting day, which is the end of Ramadan, right? Because the Eid of the Fitr is on the first of Shawwal. It is preceded by what? A fasting day. Yet it is forbidden to fast. So therefore, it is forbidden to fast the Eid days, even in the situation like in the case of the Eid al-Fitr, when it is preceded by a day of fasting. So there is difference between the Eid of Friday, the two Eids, and also the Friday. The Friday, it is not allowed to fast it, singling it alone. While the two Eids, it is absolutely forbidden to single them alone, or as in the case with respect to the Fitr, even though it is preceded by one day of fasting, which is the end of Ramadan, it is still forbidden. So with respect to the fasting on the day of a Friday, the forbidden here is to particularize this day of a Friday by giving it fasting or having fasting on it. The evidence for this is also in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ said, don't particularize or specialize the night of Jumu'ah by any qiyam, by any night prayer, from the rest of the nights, nor the day of Jumu'ah by any fast. إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ صَوْمًا يَصُومُ أَحَدُكُمْ, unless it comes to be a day which the person habitually fasts due to, for example, he is accustomed to fast one day and break one day, and then a Friday comes on the day where he fasts this day. In this case, it is allowable. You understand? Also, if there is a time when there is no time left for him to make up a certain day except the Friday, then in this case, he may fast it. Also, he may fast it in the third situation where if he fasts a day before or a day after. From this hadith also we learn that if a time or a place is honored in a certain way by Sharia, then one should not particularize additional worship to this time or this place except if there is proof for that. For example, if someone particularizes the Rabi' al-Awwal, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is the second month of the Islamic calendar, if someone adds to it certain worships, for example, and particularize certain worships to it, saying that, for example, in it the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and in this month he was assigned the messengership and prophethood, and in it he died. So therefore, based upon this, he goes and particularizes certain worships to this month. The response to that is to say this is not allowed, because matters of worship in Islam are refrained, meaning are restricted rather to what came in the revelation. Now, in cases where we have evidence to do that, then we can do that. For example, if we come to know that the legislator, for example, incited additional work in a certain time, then that's fine to do. Like, for example, during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the 12th Islamic month. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ spoke of the merits of these 10 days. Most beloved. The righteous deeds on these days are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the other days. So in this case, the person may increase the worship in these days. Why? Because the wording of the Prophet ﷺ came in the form of incitement. Inciting to do more, to do good, to utilize this time. Also with respect to the place, when we have evidence, like in the case of the prayers. The Prophet ﷺ said, a prayer in my mosque is better than 1,000 in other mosques, except the sacred mosque in Mecca, the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram. All of this, he said it in the manner of, or in the way of incitement to do the good. So if the person goes to the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and increases the salah there, and does not do that in other places, like other masajid, then therefore no one can denounce him or criticize him. You understand? Therefore, as long as there is no dalil, there is no evidence, then the person refrains. But if there is evidence, then the person can do that. Is that clear? And the third hadith for tonight is 202. عن أبي عبيد مولى بن أزهر واسمه سعد بن عبيد قال شهدت العيد مع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه فقال هذان يومان نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صيامهما يوم فطركم من صيامكم واليوم الآخر الذي تأكلون من نسككم. طيب إن شاء الله تعالى we'll leave it for next time. We'll stop here. We'll leave this for tomorrow, this hadith. Sufficient إن شاء الله for tonight. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.